Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, girl?
Ow!
Hey, everybody, get up! Ooh!
Who the fuck? Told y'all hoes to open up. Yup, that's enough. I'm coming straight from the gut. I ain't playing who that. Hold up. Tell that bitch to move back. Slow up. That nigga, fuck that bitch that he with. I got my own money, ain't nobody giving me shit. I'm the original, I'm the one that be cooking that shit. She keep saying that I'm stealing, I'ma look at that bitch like, who that? Hold up.
Tell
that bitch to move back. Slow up. For real, I mean for real. I'ma hit a win and shit. Your little man got me leaving the building, bitch. I mean for real, I probably would've killed this shit. I mean for real, but do you even feel this shit? You keep saying you the illest bitch, but I still feel like Uma Thurman and Kill Bill. If you was determined to still feel like you was determined to be real, then you would've learned it a long time ago. I prime a hoe. I done got into it with all kind of hoes. Think about what you putting on the line, you hoe. Probably all your money and time, you hoe. You only got 6 seconds, I'm buying a hoe. I'm gonna get mine for sure. You got one more time, you hoe. So don't be sorry, be mine for hoe. Like, who that? Hold up.
I bet you weren't ready for that on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nate. I am Simply Nate, and we are in full effect. That was Madame K. Michelle with some help from T-Pain. Her new album, More Issues Than Vogue, came out, and that is called Mindful. We're going to be talking about a bit of women's empowerment today. And a book that I found from what I've been able to read, because my schedule is so busy. Very empowering to women of all colors and kinds. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want y'all to get to that music. Okay, Michelle didn't even pay me. And I'm just letting you know that every time I hear that little 2 minutes of awesome, I feel so empowered. I feel so bossy. I feel so just everything. And I'm really working as an individual to, what's the proper term? Rebuke. Just like you rebuke the devil, I rebuke all things bossy and anti-feminist. I believe that, you know, you can't tell me I'm bossy because I exude the same masculine characters that your male counterparts, your Donald Trumps of the world, are seeming to do right mighty fine with. So, you know, this song, she does all the cussing for me. And I just say, be mindful. Be mindful. So we're going to make that an insider here on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nate. Be mindful. Before we go any further, I've got to think and make sure we are even able to exist. Yes, those are those lovely sponsors who give us an opportunity every week to come through and do what we do best, and they pay us for it. Yes, first off, the One Mic Stand with Simply Nate is a part of Stand Omni Media. Stand Omni Media is diversified media and merchandising for and by progressive and self-identified social conscious folk. We love y'all. We're here for y'all. The One Mic Stand show is here for you. Blackmail show is here for you. Capital T is here for you. Andre's Asylum is here for you. Gentle Women's Quarters is here for you. And if you think that you should be a host on Stand Omni Media, we would love to hear from you. So take a visit to wheredoyoustand.com and contact us. That's where do you, not YOU, just the you, stand.com, and send us an email. Let us know you'd like to be a host. Put that in your topic so we're clear. We get a lot of emails. and we will talk to you. We are also sponsored by the Lifestyle Power Players, a 501c7 social club for people of purpose and professionals who also identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or intersex. Give them a holler. They accept applications at lifestylepowerplayer@gmail.com. Again, that's lifestylepowerplayer@gmail.com. We are also sponsored by Eve for Eve Online, the premier dating site for lesbian women. You want to become familiar with them. The app is everything. Of course, model, I've been able to see it behind the scenes. But when it is released, you're going to want to call home. Well, maybe not home, because it might be embarrassing to let your mama know that your next boo is coming from a website. But you will want to call a friend and let your friend know. In the meantime, check them out, Eve, E-V-E, the numeral 4, E-V-E, online, on your Facebook, on your website, on your Twitter. They're just every damn where. And if you would like to be a sponsor of this lovely show or any of the other shows that are a part of Stand Online Media, guess what? You know what to do. Send us an email. Make sure in the email you put advertising, sponsorship, something like that, so we know what you want. No subject means we don't know, and we just might not click on it. Just might not, because we get a lot of emails. And we can talk to you about the exciting opportunities we have to make sure your business stands out. Pun on words was definitely intended, okay? It was. We're going to get into another song, and then we're going to get into our next subject. On Online Stands with Simply That. I be Simply That. Be caught on.
What happened at the New Orleans? Bitch, I'm back. I'm popular the man.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. In my bag, swag.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I like that.
I did not come to play with you, hoes. I came to slay, bitch. I like cornbreads and collard greens, bitch. Oh, yes. You best to believe it.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. In my bag. get your song played on the radio station. I might get your song played on the radio station. You just might be a black Bill Gates in the making. I just might be a black Bill Gates in the making. Yeah, I want it. When you cause all this conversation, always say gracious. Best revenge is your paper.
Girl, I hear some thunder.
Golly, look at that water, boy. Ooh, Lord. Ooh, Lord is right. Formation is one of them songs. It don't matter how many times you play it. Don't nobody get sick if you have not caught on. This is the Women's Empowerment Playlist we're giving you on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. All of these songs are encouraged to encourage the bad bitch within. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying. We usually take an opportunity to talk about those trending topics that mean so much to the masses these days. But today, I really thought it'd be cool if we do it a little bit later and see what our guest has to say. In respect of her time and appreciation that she's here, I just want to bring her on. How are you today, Lillian?
Hi, Nay. What's going on, girl?
So I know who you are, but I wanted to take an opportunity and give you a chance to introduce yourself to our listeners all over the globe this evening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Nay, for having me on your show this evening. Thank you for really this opportunity. My name is Lillian Walker Shelton. I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Who I am, wow. I feel like I want to just go back and retreat and read the bio that I had to put on the website for my book. But who I am is a student. I am a counselor. I am a therapist. And now I'm a writer. I wrote a book called Amelia's Song, which is about the lives of different women. And that's why I'm happy to be on your show talking to your listeners about it this evening.
Let me give folks an opportunity to hear exactly what your bio says in case they decide that reading isn't their thing. You know, you have to help folks. We live in a trending topic, 140-character society. So you've got to help folks out. So Lillian Walker Shelton is originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. While living in Philadelphia, she developed a desire to work with multicultural populations that have lower socioeconomic status. Lillian has traveled as a member of women's delegations to Central America and the Caribbean. Her writing has strongly been influenced by the different people that she has met along the way. She was also influenced by the work she did as a community activist and organizer in Washington, D.C. The focus of her work was on fair wages, quality health care, and affordable housing. Lillian is currently a doctoral student at Marymount University in the EDD, 2Ds, 1E, follow along, folks, program for counselor education and supervision. Her future goal is to start a community mental health clinic. Love it. So,
thank you.
The reason why I took the opportunity to read this bio, and you know, I want to break down every bit that we can get into in the next 45 minutes of yourself and your work, because one, of course, is Women's History Month, but I am trying to urge folks to make a new commitment to women that is lifelong. Like, Mm-hmm. There was a goddess within every woman, regardless what your, you know, beliefs are. And I think that so much of your accomplishment, like before we even got to the book, speaks mm-hmm. to the need for strong women to exist. See, because it's one thing to be a lady mm-hmm. with a badge. It's another thing to be a strong woman. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so, like, the strength that comes from being an activist, the strength that comes from mm-hmm. being a woman of color, the strength that comes from being able to speak up as a part of a delegation when so many different places are looking to specifically silence you and all of your identity. So before we even get into the nuances of the book, because from what I've read, I think that those different nuances contribute to the book. Can you give folks kind of a synopsis of what that journey has been, living in those identities, existing as the struggling student, the strong community organizer, just the black woman on a basic Sunday evening, you know?
Yes, and thank you, Nay. You know, I think you're making it easy, and you're helping me talk about myself. I'm telling you, and I know that's what I have to do, but it was just hard. I'm like, what should I say? Do I want to take up too much time? I don't know. But thank you, Nay. Let me back up and bring it to Philadelphia. Let me bring it to living and growing up in a place like North Philadelphia. And May, have you ever been up North Philadelphia?
I have been to Philadelphia. I can't say specifically where North Philly is, so I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna plead the fifth.
Okay. But North, growing up in North Philly in the 80s and in the 90s was very much like growing up in D.C. and Southeast D.C. And I lived there, and I witnessed so many things even before I got to be 20 years old, and things that, you know, about crime, poverty, abuse, and just like my people and how my people were so marginalized. And then what happened to me, unfortunately, when I was 20, almost 21 years old, my mother passed away. My mother had cervical cancer. And I don't know, like at that point in my life, I had to become more of an adult very fast. I mean, you know, people say you're an adult when you're 18, but once my mother died, I really, really had to become an adult. So that impacted just every area of my life. And I had to be strong at that point. I had to be strong for myself and for my brothers. And what happened in the next period of my life, I became involved in work with unions, with the Communication Workers of America. I became involved in working in childcare. I worked, even at one time at a job where I had to help women who were on welfare get jobs. And all these things kept pointing me in the direction of I really have to help women, especially minority women, even more. And eventually when I went on these different delegations that really fed into my writing, like I went on this delegation in 2003 to Cuba, and I met with, I mean, you want to talk about a strong woman. I had an opportunity to meet the Sister Asada Shakur. I met with the Federation of Cuban Women, and it gave me even more inspiration, even more just encouragement. And then the last delegation I went on was in 2008, where I went to Guatemala, and that's a lot of what is in the book is based on that delegation, where I met with women who had a farming cooperative, women who were trying to rebuild after the civil war that happened in Guatemala, and women who were part of the Banana Plantation Workers Union and Textile Workers Union. So all these things along the way, they strengthened me more to be able to stand up proud, to be able to say, you know, I'm proud to be a woman and I'm proud to do work for women and all women and regardless of race and creed, but and status and whatever. I'm always going to try to help them, but I will say too, and I think just bringing all this to a close about myself, I think the I'm still from North Philly, represent. So ultimately, in the end, I still have to go back to that, and I have to go back to those sisters that I knew growing up and how, for them, what I want to do is make that community mental health clinic to get them that help that they need.
Sorry, was muted.
It's okay.
You said so much. And what I was saying as I was on a roll, and production is like, you're muted. What I was saying is some folks don't come from Philly and some don't come from Southeast. I come from Southeast,
right.
You come from Philly. So what I want
right.
for us to be able to paint for folks and for folks to be able to see is what it took for you to decide after you got yourself out of your own situations because your mother had died at a young, you know, at your younger womanhood, to then decide,
right.
you know what, I'm going to help someone else.
You know what it really was? I mean, my mother always made us volunteer and do stuff. I mean, always. My mother was a teacher at a Catholic school. And Catholic schools in Philadelphia are good schools, but the teachers there do not get paid anything. And my mother she always took care of the children in her class. She took care of the children in her neighborhood. She really was a very much community-involved woman. And when I was younger, you know, being a kid at first, you're like, I don't want to do this stuff. But after a while, I was like, okay, this is really good. This is really helping. This is something that, you know, it's more about other people than myself when I do this stuff. It's more about other people. And I think, you know, just always remembering her, always remembering the things that she said to me. It's funny. There's a place called Strive DC. And it's off of 7th and 8th Street, down the 8th Street area. And I was at one time doing women's empowerment groups with the girls who were coming there for the job training. And one of the girls in my group said, you know, her ultimate goal in life is that she just wanted to make her mother proud. And I looked at her and I was like, you know, me too. And that's really how I feel. So I think it was just really the strong influence of my mother in my life and the things that she taught me about being a woman and being proud and being a black woman and being proud are what really has just absolutely fueled me, and it fuels me every day.
Word. So we're going
yeah.
to get into another song, and when we come back from the song, we are going to speak specifically about the book. But before
okay.
we do those two things, can you take us into the first day you sat down writing? What made you say, fuck it, this is what I got to do and why?
You know, what it was, too, is that the stories of African-American women have been told by other African-American women. I will agree to that. But I wanted to do something that was much more contemporary. And I wanted to have the stories of African-American women alongside other women, like Caucasian women and Latino women and transgendered women and Asian women, and I wanted to do it that way. And it was like, it was kind of boiling up in me. It was really, really boiling up in me. And I was like, you know what, I think that I think I could do this. I think I can sit down and write it. And it was like riding a bicycle for the first time. I fell down a couple of times, but I got back on. And that was the thing. So I think just the start of it, I really saw my characters. I saw the women in the book, and I knew the story that I wanted to tell. And so, therefore, that's how I was able to begin.
And now we're going to go to the song and get back to the book shortly. You guys are tuning in to the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. This is Lillian Walker Shelton, author of Amelia's Song. We're getting into a song right now. Perfect segue.
Made a wrong turn.
dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decision, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, please misunderstood.
Giving us everything we needed, keeping us on track
with our women
empowerment playlist. Lillian, you there with us?
I'm here.
Great to have you back. I am just so moved by like how honest and transparent you are, because so many times folks, especially when they have something that is available for purchase, feel as though they have to present their best. I mean, we just keep it real on the one mic stand with Simply Nay. Feel as though they have to present this package for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And here, we like for folks to be their authentic self.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. Our mainstream listeners know, and those who listen to us on a regular basis, that we don't do any sort of censorship. We don't do pre-interviews, things like that. And so the things we're discussing here, it's our first time talking about them right here, right now. So you did not know that I was going to ask you to take us to your first day writing and or typing of 2016 this book. What was going on in your mind? What made you say this today, now?
No. We didn't practice this at all. You know, we didn't practice this, and I think I appreciate it. I mean, I want to be for real. I want to be honest. I feel comfortable. I do. I feel comfortable. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. I try for people to feel like they're sitting at my bar with their favorite cocktail, and it's just me, them, and their God, and nobody else, but it's really 192 listening countries. That's what I go for. So I'm glad you feel the comfort.
Oh,
I'm glad it's working.
Yes,
yes
girl.
Yes. But yes, let's talk. What made you do it? Because so many people have something on their spirit that me and you need to read, that the sister across the street needs to read too. So what made you say, you know what, this needs to be it right now? What, take us there.
Well, okay, you know, part of it was to, for a bit there, I used to work at this place called Community Connections in D.C. as a caseworker. And Community Connections is a place where we help people who have severe mental illness. And, you know, they need help with just a lot of activities of daily living and everything like that. And so many of the African-American women that I served, I felt, they felt that they were ignored. I felt that they had a story to be told. And I was like, I would look at them. And then even after I stopped working there, I would still see them because, you know, I had always seen them before. I had seen them before, and then I started working with them, and I saw them. And then after that, they made like a little imprint on my soul. So then after that, I would see them on the buses. I would see them out in the street, and I'm like, these sisters have a story to be told. Who are these sisters? And so I created a character in my book that was like these sisters, and I'm like, I want people to know what it's like in this woman's life and what it feels like. And really, the parallels of the different women's lives in the book, I think they're lives that maybe don't often cross. But what I also see and what also really encouraged me to write the book was I always hear women talk about other people's lives, other women's lives in particular, and what they think this other woman has going on, and even how they think it might be, you know, greener on the other side of the fence. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, this person is dealing with a struggle, too, that you may know nothing about. Or you might assume that it's something, but that you know, as a person, people don't know.
You spoke that. That I had to mute my phone, so I shouted. That was a real word. That was a real word. I got
Thank
to the
you.
Point, and this is, you know, so many people were like, well, you know, the One Mic Stand with Simply Nae went on hiatus for a very long time, and, you know, I went to the point where I just couldn't talk to nobody. I had to talk to myself and encourage myself and build myself up, and where I didn't have any safe spaces because people think, oh, you own your own business. Oh, you produce radio shows. Oh, you. I'm not sitting on a mountain full of coins.
Hey.
Oh, you know, let's come live at your house and pay no bills.
Because
activist in you knows that a housing is for all. So I'm supposed to lose mine trying to give you a little bit? Come on.
You know. I'm telling you, I feel you, Nae, and I think it's just like you said, like people see this. And I think, too, the thing about it is like people see also, too, somebody, another thing that kind of inspired me to write the book was this girl had put this picture on Facebook, and it was like my life on Facebook and my life in real life. And the life on Facebook, you know, it was a picture of Anna Nicole, and she looked great, but then her life in real life, she looked a mess. And so people might see something on the internet about you. They might see that thing. They might assume that, okay, your life is just dandy. You know, that life is great. But it's really not. It's still a struggle. It's still something that you are going through. The part of you, and this is me asking you a question, when the show went on hiatus and you didn't want to talk to folks, you know, what was going on?
Oh, girl, what didn't go on in that time? Cancer diagnosis. Positive and negative relationships, and we aren't just talking romantic. An evolution of self and really wanting to be mindful about the ways in which I engage both professionally and personally. Straight up hacking the One Mic Stands website and years worth of shows gone with the wind. And that just had me to the point where it made me question my whole life's work. When 4+ years of radio shows up and are destroyed, you're like, what am I doing this for? I don't even want to do this no more.
Yeah.
When people you were looking to give assistance to, when people you were really trying to provide an opportunity for saw you as something to, you know, capitalize on, take advantage of. And let me be clear. At no time can I say I was the victim. I was also understanding that my passion was not being translated as passion. And for that reason, a lot of folks were intimidated and still are to this day about getting to know me on an authentic basis. And I wanted folks to know Ayana and not just simply Nay.
Yeah. I think it sounds like that's what you had to do to grow. You know, it sounds like that's what you had to do to grow, and it's painful, and it's painful, and it hurts, and it's not straight up and down, and it's not really cut and dry, and I know, it's one of them unpleasant experiences, but it sounds like you came through when you were a different person.
Yeah, I have to say that I think that the term evolution and the term epiphany are very overused, so I try not to use them. But there was a spiritual transformation that took place, and by that spiritual transformation, I can say in full disclosure, I know what it is to lose everything. And to build back up and to be continuously building back up from scratch. So that leads us to, we've gotten to know you. We've talked about, you know, what brought you to empower and encourage folks with this book. Can you introduce us to the characters of the book? Who will folks know when they buy your book?
Sure. And you know what is the funniest thing, Nay? I have to tell you, like, when the folks that have read the book, when I talk to them about it, I always say to them, well, what character do you like and what character do you identify the most with? And everybody tells me something, someone different. And I like that. And then I think also, too, what it says is, like, is the person that they connected with the most. It's the person that they saw and they're like, something about her. But the one character is Felicity, and she's an African-American child care worker. She's in her early 20s, and she lives in Southeast D.C., and her mother is a recovering heroin addict. And Felicity works at the child care mostly to support her mom and her brother. The next character is a woman named Gloria. She's also in her early 20s, and she's Guatemalan, and she lives on a banana plantation. And she speaks English, and she's part of the banana plantation workers. Her sexual identity is that she's a lesbian. The third main character is a woman named Sarah, and she's white. She's a lawyer, but because she lives in D.C. and there's so many lawyers in D.C., she just works as a law clerk. And she's in her late 30s. She's in an interracial relationship. She's married to Curtis, who's black, and they have fertility issues. And the last fourth character, which is like a main but supporting character, is May. And May is a transgender woman, and she's Thai, and she's this feminist activist. She's a graduate student at Georgetown, and May has this thing that she thinks everything in the world is her fault. She's the leader of the delegation, and whatever goes wrong, whatever problem happens, she blames it on herself.
Wow. That's, like, mm-hmm. real. Like, that is so
yeah,
many women. I'm sure as you ran down those explanations, that is, like, so many different women. So, y'all, mm-hmm. we are going to listen to another song. And when we get back, we're going to get into some of the plot. Not all of the plot, because the point is that you're supposed to purchase the book, read it for yourself. But mm-hmm. I'm enjoying our conversation about Amelia's song with the author, Lillian Walker Shelton. Let's tune into some jams, shall we? Want to hear some? Got some for you. How about Lady Gaga? Check it out.
And if I'm hot shot, mama cut my hair at night. In the morning, I'm short of my identity. I'm not afraid.
Lady Gaga will sing for her supper, y'all. If you didn't notice, that was called Hair by Lady Gaga. She went in, right? She got you just wanting to get it washed or combed. Just do something with it right now at 8:48 Eastern or whatever time it may be in your lay of the land. Lillian, you back with us, dear?
I'm there, girl. I'm there.
Yes. So we've got about 12 more minutes on the show. We're going to play our last song. It's going to be our to-go song a little bit later. Can you take folks through the book without giving away all the good parts? What should they walk away with after reading said novel?
I think what they should walk away with is the feeling that they know about somebody else that's different from them, the feeling that they know about other people's struggles, the feeling that the base core and the message in the book is a message of forgiveness and the message of love. And, I can't give it all away, but there's a part in the book where I talk about forgiveness. And I mentioned how I read this thing by Nelson Mandela and how he said that, you know, he was in prison for 27 years, and that after a while of being in prison, he had to forgive the jailers that were there that imprisoned him and that taunted him and tortured him, because if he did not forgive them, then he would have also been in a whole separate prison himself. And that, when I read that, I was like, okay, this, I want to use this as some kind of message of forgiveness in my book. And then the message of this love, of this eternal, unconditional, never-ending love that people have, and that, you know, even if someone is deceased, even if the person is not with you, you still love them. And the love is healing, and how love can make anything really, really possible. And I got that from some of the literature that I read by Martin Luther King, and how he had the message of using love in the work that he did, and using love in the sense that he did not love those people that abused and tortured and killed them, but he had love from his family, and so he had love from his family, he could continue his work. So those are two of the big, big, big messages in the book of forgiveness and love. I'm sorry, I'm going to stop right there.
I think that's good. Do you think that women especially need those messages more so than other groups of people?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, by nature, we are so forgiving and we're so loving. And that's the thing that we have. But I think that it can be transformative. And I think that's what it happens in the book for the characters, that forgiveness, that love can transform them into something else. I will say this, that, like, okay, I talked about the character Gloria. And Gloria has a lot of, like, just sadness and bitterness in her heart after her mother passes away. And Gloria encounters Felicity, and the girl from Southeast D.C., and she thinks that Felicity is this American girl that has, like, a princess bedroom and a beautiful and wonderful life and everything. And then she hears Felicity say, you know, she don't want to talk to her mother. And Gloria's like, what kind of woman is this? She don't want to talk to her mother, you know, and everything like that. And eventually what happens in the book, I don't want to give it away. I want folks to maybe go check it out. But there's some forgiveness that has to happen, and they get to see each other's point of view. And I think that happens because of love that develops there, because of things that happen there. And that when you have these two transformative emotions of forgiveness and love, they make a lot more things possible that may not have been possible before. But they're not easy. They're not easy. And the characters in the book go through a whole bunch of hurdles to be able to get to them.
Deep. We don't want to give too much away, but we do want to give people an opportunity to get to the book. So since it's 8:52, how can people follow your work and, of course, get a copy of this book?
Thank you. Thank you. They can go to www.ameliasong.com, and that's Amelia, EmiliaSSong.com, and learn more about what I'm doing. You know, hopefully, me and you can even get it. Nay, if it's cool, I'd like to put a link from this interview that we're doing on my website.
Sure.
And you let
you
know. Okay.
You want. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Okay. If we could, you know, we could put a link from this interview on there. But that's how they can follow me. And then the book is only available on Amazon Kindle. It is only an ebook. If you go to Amazon Kindle, but see, the thing about it is you don't just have to have a Kindle. You can download it on your phone, download the Kindle app on your computer, and you can read the book, but it's only available to read online. I think a lot of things, and that would be like one of the last things I say, you know, people who want to write and want to put their book out there, Amazon Kindle is a good way to do it because you can publish your book for free, and you may be like me, you may not have the funds to get the book printed up. So you can go and put it on there, and then folks can read it that way. But that's a future hope that I have. I hope one day to have some money so I can get hard copies of the book for people to read. And I would also, I know I said that was going to be the last thing, but the last thing is that, you know, people who are interested in writing and, you know, think they have stories to tell, please reach out to me. I'd like to encourage you about it, encourage you to get your work put out there. I think I've had other people in my life who are writers encourage me, and I'd like to always, you know, pay it forward and help other folks too.
And that's always important, I think, personally.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Helping other folks do what they need is always important, you know, because it one, helps you to learn lessons and reminds you why you do it. And then, two, when you can't do it anymore, it's the next phase of the journey, you know?
Yes, indeed. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to thank you for being here and just being present during the conversation and presenting all of yourself and just being willing to go on this wide route, the Simply Nay. That isn't so simple sometimes. So I'm so appreciative of you. And, you know, this show is an open door. So as you are continuing in your authorship and continuing in your counseling and just being an altogether badass, we want to continue to support that however we can. So you know how to reach me. You guys in listening land, if you are just coming up, you can hear this in all of our other shows at any time. We can be found at Where Do You stand.com. That's WHERE DOU, not YOU, just the U. STAND.com/radio. And you can hear every show we produce. Thank you so much, Lillian. We are so appreciative for having you. We're going to be sharing the Amelia Song page on our page so that folks can like it and continue to promote your work. And to take us home this evening, we've got a throwback, Britney Spears with Stronger. If you think today was bad, at least you're not Britney Spears, circa 2007. Take us home, Britney.
Whatever. There's nothing you can do.